to the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. Thank you for joining us. This morning, Reverend Tricia G. Lytle looks at the life of Jonah and the way his questions and doubts led him to a new understanding of God.
So I remember when I was a teenager asking my mom and dad, but usually my mom got the brunt of it, those litany of questions like, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? Like, why do I have to go to piano practice? And my favorite one that you all hear me groan about all the time, why do I have to empty the dishwasher? You know I hate to empty the dishwasher. You've heard this before from the pulpit. Sorry. And then why do I have to take off my soccer cleats and put them in the garage? So when my mom had patience, you know, she explained the answer to that many, many times. Parents, you can relate to this. And when she didn't have patience, and I would say, why do I have to do this? She would come back with, you know, because I, yeah, y'all know that one really well. It was that authoritarian kind of answer, you know, the one that said, we're not discussing this anymore. I've already told you the answer a million times. This is the law. Just obey it and do it, and this is the end of the discussion, period. And you knew that you better not say anything else. I have seen that same kind of correlation with Scripture before. I saw it once when I first visited a faith group at the very first college I attended. I went to go visit, and I went over to the side and started talking to another student about whether or not she liked this group. And she said, no, I really don't. She even said, I'm not really sure why I keep coming. And I said, well, tell me more. And she said, well, I've had some doubts, and I'm not really sure that this group is okay with that. She said, I told the leader I had some doubts, and he said, no, you should have faith, but never doubt God. After that, she said she didn't feel very welcome there, and that she felt as though her doubt was seen as a form of weakness. She said she felt insincere coming to the group, and she felt really insincere when she was asked to pray. She said she wanted to raise her hand and say to the group, does anybody remember Doubting Thomas? He was a really important person in the faith journey and in the story of Jesus. We don't just reject him and forget about him. He's an important person. What about me? Am I not important too? So instead, she did what a lot of young people do these days, and what do? They just quit coming to church. She quit going to that group before I quit going to it. And I don't know if she is involved in religion or faith or spirituality anymore, because sadly there wasn't a place for her questions in that group. I grew up Presbyterian, so for me, I have never experienced a place where when someone asks a question about God or has doubts, they're shamed or guilted. So when I see that happen, I feel a bit spiritually pinched and a whole lot religiously bruised that someone would be shamed for that. And I feel a whole lot hurt when they feel that their faith is in question, especially when we think about the word their faith, because your faith is your faith, Jim. It's not mine. It's not mine to tell you what to do it with, just as my faith is my faith, and that makes me sad. And I think it makes Jesus sad too. And yet today when the children came forward at 11 and when they came forward at 9:30, all the adults had fun listening to what they had to say, and at 9:30 a few of them had some comments. Everybody laughed. Everybody's always amused when the children have questions. So I decided to look up and see what were the most interesting questions that children had about God. One child said, why did God make mosquitoes if all they're going to do is bite us and make us itch? They wanted to ask God that question. Why, God, did you make mosquitoes if all they're going to do is bite us and make us itch? Another child said, why does God stay in heaven and not come down here and hang out with us? makes us think about how we talk about God, right? If we tell children that God lives up in heaven, it's fair that they would ask that question. And yet I think that God is right here in front of us. Another child asked the question, if God saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone, then why the heck did God not make himself a wife? Now that is a little theologian, right? Pretty impressive. A Sunday school teacher told the story when she taught the lesson of the Good Shepherd one morning and how Jesus left the 99 to find the one lost sheep, that a child said, does this mean that Jesus lived in a zoo? And one of my favorite ones was a mom telling the story about a little bird that fell out of the nest in their backyard and fell down and died. So when the children weren't looking, she ran into the backyard and she scooped up the little baby bird and put it in the trash can out back. And the next day when they got up for breakfast, the little child said, Mommy, Mommy, what happened to the little baby bird? And she said, you know, we didn't really want to deal with that subject yet, so I just said, oh, children, you don't need to worry. That little baby bird is with Jesus. And the little three-year-old looked thoughtfully and turned to Mom and said, does that mean that Jesus lives in the trash can? Our children are a whole lot smarter than we give them credit for sometimes, right? When children ask cute questions, we laugh and we find it amusing and we marvel at them. But somewhere along the way, as we get older, our questions seem to turn from wonder to sometimes shameful. And in some religious cultures, people are even called heretics for asking questions about God. And let's remember that the Greek word, root of the word heretic, really isn't what we want to name it and define it. But the Greek word of the word heretic really means to choose. As adults, we tend to lose some of our inquisitive nature. We want order, we want control, we want things to go as expected. Or if I'm really honest, I want control. I want things to go as expected. I want order, just like Jonah did. I'm so much like Jonah in the story. God said, we're going to have A, we're going to have B, and we're going to have C. Somebody says, we're going to have a picnic, and we're going to have chicken, and then we're going to have rides, and then we're going to go for a walk, and I show up, and I'm like, great, we're going to do this, this, and this. That's what I expect. And Jonah thought the same thing. God had a plan. God said God was going to do this. And Jonah wanted the same exact things. So when it didn't happen, Jonah was not a bit flexible. He got a little furious. And he got angry that God wasn't ready to punish the Ninevites. So what did he do? He started doubting God. He started questioning God. He even yelled at God. And as the shade of that tree went away, Jonah's anger grew and grew, and he questioned, and they started arguing back and forth, first about the shade of that bush, and God says, you're angry about something that you didn't even have anything to do with. You didn't work for that shade. You didn't water the tree for that shade. You had nothing to do with it, and you're complaining about it. And now you're concerned that I'm not going to take care of the Ninevites. And you can almost hear God saying to Jonah, Jonah, will you never learn that my love is greater than my anger? Do you not remember that my love was great for you? Do you not remember that I gave you a second chance? And now I'm going to give the Ninevites one too. So go and live and love as I have loved. Something powerful happens here. In all of the midst of Jonah's questions and doubts, the first big thing that happens here in the midst of his doubts, the best gift of all, is Jonah's doubts and questions have forced him to look at who he thought God was. Now, I don't know how many of you parents have come home with a freshman from college after your freshman year. I mean, after my freshman year in college, I thought I knew everything. Came home my freshman year in college, I did. You know, this is it, I know everything. Same thing after seminary, freshman year in college, thought I knew everything. Jonah thinks he knows everything about God. He's got them all figured out. And this doubt has forced him to let go of what he thought he knew about God. And this is the gift, that doubt is not a sign of weakness here, but a sign of growth. And I think doubts can feel scary because we think that we're leaving behind this God that we thought we knew, this idea of God we thought we had, this God that we like to surround ourselves with, this God that we put in a box, this God that was comfortable, this God that Jonah knew that he had figured out. But doubts help us to crack open that box and say, wait a minute, this isn't the God that I knew at all. I mean, look in the scripture. Look what happened. Jonah was ready for God to destroy the Ninevites. And it says in scripture, I knew you were going to show up and be a God of sheer mercy and grace. I knew you were going to be a God who wasn't easily angered. I just knew you were going to be a God rich in love and ready at the drop of a hat to turn your plans of punishment into a program of forgiveness. All of his doubt flipped God upside down. And now God is not a God of anger, but now a God of forgiveness and sheer mercy and grace and love and kindness. And if that's not a gift that comes from doubt, then I don't know what is. He had to let go of this image of God he thought he knew. And the second wonderful thing that's happened is now they've had this great argument. I mean, who's had a great argument with someone in their life and ended up at the end of the argument going, I know you so much better. We are such better friends. We have made it through this difficult time in our life, and now we know each other so much better. Jonah and God have had this great argument, and now they have a more intimate relationship. Jonah's got a deeper faith. He's walking closer with God. They know each other better. And that's another wonderful gift of doubt. And the third thing I want to assure you of in the gift of doubt is that we're not alone with this. And this is the one that always gets me. When people want to shame people for feeling doubt, I want to say to them, have you opened your Bible lately? Have you read the Holy Scriptures? Have you read the Psalms? Have you seen how many people in the Psalms question God? Open up your Psalms when you get home and read how many people cry out and question God. Go back and read the story of Moses. Go back and read Jonah. Go back and read multiple stories in the Bible where people are calling out and questioning God. It is all in our biblical narrative. God wants us to know that it is okay to ask him questions. It is okay to have doubts, because in the midst of that, we grow in our faith, and it is a normal part of our faith journey. I can't help but wonder what the churches in America would look like on Sunday morning if questions and doubt were as welcome as our donations are. What would it look like if, as in the scripture this morning, sheer grace and mercy were a part of people's faith struggles more than judgment was? What would it look like if truly doubt was seen as a gift? The theologian and the author, Rob Bell, I think sums it up really, really well. He says, for many people in our world, the opposite of faith is doubt. So for many people, the goal is to eliminate doubt. But faith and doubt are not opposites. I love this. He says, doubt is often a sign that your faith has a pulse, that it's alive and well and exploring and searching. Faith and doubt are not opposites. They are, in turn, excellent dance partners. See that image? Faith and doubt are in turn excellent dance partners. That means for each of us, my friends, that there is a divine dance waiting for each of us. And that God reaches God's hand out to all of us and says, may I have this dance with you, my beloved. Bring your questions and bring your doubts. Come as you are. There is a divine dance that waits for us. And it is indeed a gift.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.